From WNUR News, I'm Gabe Shumway. You're listening to the 6 o'clock news on WNUR 89.3 FM, HD1, Evanston, Chicago. It's Monday, May 5th, 2025. Tonight, on WNUR News, a look back at the secret to a great Dillo Day, the rise of Your Name fanfiction culture, the tales of a quintessential first-year moment, lockouts, this week's B-list, and this week's state of the N-Union. Those stories and more tonight on WNUR News at 6. Thanks for swinging by. With Dillo Day festivities less than 2 weeks away, we took a look into the archives from last year's Dillo. Many lessons were learned, and with those, students having 20/20 hindsight, I found out what advice they would give just 24 hours after the festivities concluded.
That's cause you went war with love.
I like to party. I really like to party.
I'm just living life.
Mayfest's Dillo Day here at Northwestern University is a yearly celebration featuring a gaggle of musicians, with concerts taking place for over 9 hours. Over the course of the day, students often find themselves in the pit, celebrating along with some of their favorite artists. This year's camp-themed Dillo was complete with food trucks, groups giving out makeup supplies, and so many more festivities. However, Dillo is also a day known for parties on and off campus, with some who begin indulging in adult beverages at times when they would regularly be sleeping through their morning lecture. So, with the knowledge of this marathon of a day in mind, I took to the streets of Northwestern University the next day, once students had recovered, to seek advice. What did these Wildcats wish they knew before Dillo Day? What advice would they give to future attendees?
One piece of advice I give is stay hydrated. It can get pretty hot outside, especially with all those people out there and not being able to bring liquids inside.
That's Weinberg first year Frankie Gordon. Though he is an avid jazz fan, he still made it out for this year's Dillo Day lineup, which contained a plethora of artists in hip-hop, R&B, and rap, alongside fusions of disco, afrobeats, and pop. Additionally, with a handful of food trucks in attendance, as well as plastic pouches provided upon arrival to refill with water, students had plenty of options for what to eat. Gordon's advice?
Eat beforehand. The food's a little expensive, but it's pretty good.
When deciding what to consume beforehand, students don't necessarily just stick to dining halls or using meal exchanges, as Dillo Day is one that involves substances of a different kind for many students. Dillo Day itself even had a beer garden for students of legal age. For students who are considering experimenting, Weinberg sophomore Domingo Contreras encouraged caution and care.
Just be careful with whatever you partake in. You see people in bushes, halfway through the day, think through what you're going to do. Surround yourself with good people.
Once students filed into the day's events, however, the line of vendors stretched all along Northwestern's Lakeville. With some unaware of seemingly how long this wait was, Weinberg first year Isabel Sue provided a much-needed recommendation to future attendees.
My advice would be to wear comfortable shoes, because there's a lot of walking, a lot more than I thought there was going to be.
There were two stages at Dillo this year, which both became progressively more crowded as the evening went on. While there were only a few dozen students at the start for some of the student performers, by the time headliner Sway Lee came on for his performance, there were full-on mosh pits. While this can easily become overwhelming for some, Weinberg first year Bella Hernandez shared some insights from her time in the pit.
Just knowing, crowd control sometimes, because I was in the pit for, most of it, just, know that you can step away.
With agreement between Hernandez and fellow first years Tarek Filipovich and Abigail Yoon, the biggest piece of advice reiterated by students that I spoke with, pace yourself throughout the day, and if needed,
Take a nap
around 3 p.m., 4 p.m.
Definitely midday nap.
maybe two naps. I took a 3-hour nap in the middle of Dillo, and then I was rejuvenated for the end.
With Dillo Day being one of the events that students look forward to most all year, there's bound to be stress. From students worrying about what to wear to fit this year's camp theme, to others who were concerned about who they'd be attending with, McCormick first year Batul Solomon approached the question with calming advice.
You know, my advice would just be to be less stressed about it, because I feel like it's a big event that there's a lot of, like, lead up to, and some people were worried about, like, oh, am I going to go with time, long day, but it's just a fun day, so I think if people just enjoy.
For WNUR News, I'm Gabe Shumway.
Now, diving headlong into the world of arts and entertainment. Amidst a running series on fanfiction culture from news director Mika Ellison ahead of her graduation, we went into the archives ahead of last summer's rom-com, The Idea of You. At the time, Mika speculated and created this piece on Your Name fanfiction culture.
From Twilight to the After series to 50 Shades of Grey, there's no shortage of movies that are based on or rumored to be based on fanfiction. The latest is The Idea of You, starring Anne Hathaway as a middle-aged mother and Nicholas Galitzine as the suave, sexy, and 24-year-old Harry Styles double. The plot follows Hathaway as she takes her daughter to Coachella and meets Galitzine's character, Hayes Campbell. The movie follows their whirlwind summer romance across Europe on his band's world tour. A few days after the movie's release, the reviews are in from the Northwestern students that have already seen it.
Given the low expectations, I was pleasantly surprised.
That was Yanyan Lee, a Medill freshman who watched it with Weinberg freshman Abigail Jacob after she finished her homework. Most students watch the movie in groups or with others.
We love to watch movies together, and we especially love to watch movies that we know are going to be bad. It's like a bonding experience, and we complain about it to each other.
Weinberg Jr. Raquel Weinstein watched the movie over the weekend, with RTVF Jr. Maria Katsagradakis. Students were also drawn in by marketing through TikToks, both official and fan-made.
I think I mostly saw, like, a few TikToks about it and, like, trailers. And I knew it was kind of corny, but amazing because of the two leads.
I watched, like, I got TikToks. For the most part, it was just the TikToks that were, like, the official ones. So I got different trailers, different clips of the movie. I will say that because we watched it, like, 1 or 2 days after it came out, I did get a few little spoilers, like, from edits and stuff.
Another thing they had in common?
Nicholas, Galfline. How do you,
what's his name? Nicholas
Galaxy. And although it wasn't part of the official marketing for the movie, most students had also heard of the fanfiction rumor.
When I was watching the movie, my friends informed me it was based off the Harry Styles fanfic, which makes a lot of sense looking back.
Although recent movies like Anyone But You have leaned on unconventional marketing tactics like rumored affairs, Robin Lee, the author of The Idea of You, and Galitzine himself have both stated that Harry Styles was at most a distant inspiration for their characters. The impulse to distance the movie from its fanfiction roots might be because fan-made content is often seen as simplistic or overly obsessive.
I personally have never read a Harry Styles fanfiction, so I don't really have a comparison point, but I can see where, like, the Harry Styles fanfiction is coming from, but then, like, based on stereotypes of fanfiction, I wouldn't expect, like, a fanfiction to be as nuanced as this movie. And this movie is not nuanced. It's just more nuanced than I think a fanfiction would be.
Despite their best efforts, the fanfiction moniker has followed the movie, perhaps because the narrative strikes many as classic fan-inspired wish fulfillment, and contains the kind of social media-inspired moments that might be labeled cringe. In fanfiction, this is known as a YN moment, short for Your Name, a common way to refer to the main character of self-insert fanfiction.
I think it's kind of hilarious, and I could, like, definitely see, like, a 40-year-old mom, like, living out her fantasy throughout the movie. Not that it was, like, relatable, but I feel like it made it entertaining because it was like, oh yeah, sure, like, everybody has these fantasies of, like, their celeb crushes and stuff, so it's kind of cool to see it played out on screen.
However, some students ignored the one direction of it all and ended up loving the film as part of the rom-com renaissance.
As a book lover, I think it was a pretty good adaptation because it hit all of the fast points, the important points, and as just a hopeless romantic, I think it was freaking phenomenal, and the ending was great, and even if it wasn't, like, I've already heard things about people being like, yeah, it was just for the Harry Files fans and, oh, it's just a this, or, oh, it's kind of crappy, or, oh, like, whatever.
The film also has an ending that differs from the book, which multiple students found to be one of the most emotional and interesting scenes. In it, both leads display a level of self-awareness Lee and Katsikodakis characterize as far above the fan fiction level.
She's, like, taking accountability and realizing that there was something problematic in their relationship. Because I don't think rom-coms do that enough. I think a lot of other rom-coms, they sort of, like, romanticize the relationship and not really address what's wrong with it. Whereas in this story, they kind of, they've addressed it directly.
To have it, that felt a lot more realistic and a lot more powerful of, we are older now than we were the first time we broke up. I understand that we gave it a solid try, and it still wasn't enough because you're prioritizing your daughter, but I do still love you, and this is still hard, and I think that was really powerful to wrap it all up in that one little, like, dimly lit blue, like, that was good.
Good movie or not, and fan fiction or not, most students are judging the idea of you not on the star it might be based on, but on how well it sets out to do what these movies do best.
Not to sound anti-intellectual. Like, I love education, I love talking about, like, different, like, ideas and concepts, but sometimes you do want to just turn your brain off, and I feel like that's, like, what a lot of criticism that brain rot movies receive, is that, like, oh, like, this is bad and this is bad, or, like, they're like, oh, this isn't, like, really well produced. I feel like they're, like, missing the point of brain rot movies, mm-hmm. You know? Like, it's not meant to be any of those things. It's mm-hmm. just something to, like, unwind, to have a little bit of fun.
Even if it wasn't, like, the most high-quality film, fancy, whatever, it made me laugh, and it made me cry, and it was really cute.
For WNUR News, I'm Mika Ellison.
Especially in their first year, students often forget to bring their wild cards with them and end up locked out of their dorm room. While sometimes getting back into their rooms is an easy fix, other times it turns into a stressful ordeal. Sahana Ani has the story.
Realizing your wild card is still on your desk as the door to your dorm room shuts behind you is a feeling many first-year students, including Sophia Chang, have become all too familiar with.
And I walked, I remember vividly, like, 3 steps out of my door, and then right before it slammed shut, I, like, had a realization, and out loud at, like, 8 a.m. in the morning, I said, no, and then I did a pivot, and I turned around, and then I saw it slam shut, and then I had to do the walk of shame to the basement.
Within the past 3 quarters, Chang estimates she has been locked out of her dorm room 8 or 9 times.
In fall quarter, maybe like week 2 or week 3, my roommate taped a piece of paper to the inside of the door that says, "Do you have your key?" with 3 question marks and 3 hearts. And I imagine the hearts mean that she loves me, despite the fact that she has had to open the door for me many times when I've locked myself out.
And she's not alone. Since moving in, first-year Claire Boma has also become well acquainted with the temp desk, where students can receive a temporary access card to unlock their room.
Well, I have been locked out too many times to count, if I'm going to be honest. Once spring quarter, and then mostly it was, like, fall quarter, because I wasn't used to, like, having to carry my ID around.
Each resident receives 1 free lockout every quarter before they start getting charged $10 for each subsequent lockout. But getting a temp card hasn't always been easy for first-year Emmett Martin Rosenthal.
I've, you know, forgotten to deadbolt my door while taking a shower, and then had to go knock on a friend's door and get clothes and go to the area desk. That's happened 3 times in winter quarter as well, so it was, like, cold.
Boma said her worst lockout experience was right before a 10 a.m. class.
I took a shower, and I forgot to bring my phone with my ID in it. And unfortunately, it was really early in the morning, and I think my roommate was already gone because she had, like, an 8 a.m. So I was, like, stuck with nothing but a bathrobe in the lounge. My RA was not really responding, and I had no idea how much time had passed because I had no electronics on me. So I was actually out there for, I think, like, almost 2 hours. And I just thought I was going crazy with how much time had passed. Like, I just thought I was bored. And I was losing my mind, but in reality, it really had been 2 hours. Eventually someone came out and we had to call like the RA on duty number and send someone to unlock my room, but that was probably my worst lockout story.
While you may enjoy teasing your friends by getting locked out, sometimes it's just out of their control. Martin Rosenthal learned this when the card reader for his dorm, an elder, died during fall quarter.
It was a Friday night. I was out hanging out with some friends. It was pretty late. It was like 3 a.m. And I come back to my room, and all I want to do is go to bed, because the next day, there's a football game. So I'm so tired. I get back to my room. I put my card against the door. Nothing happens. And I'm like, okay, this is bad. I walk. I'm thinking, my card's broken. The card reader isn't reading it. Something's up. So I'm going to get a temp card. So I walk all the way to Shapiro. I get a temp card. I come back. It doesn't work. So I call the RA on duty, and he's like, maybe you should get another temp card. Maybe that one was broken too. So I go all the way back. I get another temp card. I come back. It doesn't work. And at this point, I'm like, it's the card reader. I can't. It's not going to work. I need to call residential services. At this point, it's like 4 in the morning. And I call them, and they're like, we'll be there in 15 minutes. I'm sitting on the floor right outside my room for an hour and 15 minutes. So I don't get into my room until 5:15. And when I finally do, I collapse and go to sleep.
But what about the students doling out those life-saving temp cards? Senior Lulu Abatha takes shifts for the temp desks on South Campus.
People live in Allison and then, like, get locked out of their rooms upstairs and they come down in, like, the craziest, like, Halloween costumes or, like, I don't know, like, their towels and whatever, or, like, their face masks, just, like, people looking all different kind of things. And they're always, like, so embarrassed, but I'm like, literally, this happens every single day. Like, don't worry, it's chill.
While the walk of shame to the temp desk may feel mortifying, it truly does happen to the best of us. And hey, maybe remembering your wild card can be a sophomore year resolution. Sahana Uni, WNUR News.
From Beyoncé's tour kickoff to Tina Fey's latest Netflix hit, it's a big week in entertainment. Ansley Simpson has the latest on what to watch, who's making headlines, and what to expect at tonight's star-studded Met Gala.
Welcome to The B-List, your weekly roundup of celebrity mess and pop culture. This week, The Four Seasons, Beyoncé's World Tour, Gigi Hadid, and the Met Gala. First up, in television news, Netflix just dropped a new comedy-drama miniseries called The Four Seasons. It premiered May 1st and comes from the powerhouse team of Tina Fey, Lang Fisher, and Tracy Wakefield. The series is based on the 1981 movie of the same name and follows three married couples who meet once each season for couples getaways. The cast, absolutely stacked, with Tina Fey, Steve Carell, and Colman Domingo leading the way. With just 8 episodes, it's an emotional roller coaster as these couples navigate love, conflict, and life's messy moments. Over in the music world, this sure ain't Texas, because Beyoncé officially kicked off her Cowboy Carter World Tour in Inglewood, California on Monday, April 28th. The show was full of surprises, including appearances by her daughter Blue Ivy and a touching onstage moment with the women of Beyoncé's family during the song Protector. On Thursday night, Beyoncé added in more of her classics, including If I Were a Boy. Chicagoland fans, get ready, because Beyoncé is bringing the tour to Soldier Field this Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. In celebrity news, Gigi Hadid and Bradley Cooper made it Instagram official over the weekend. Gigi turned 30 and celebrated with the birthday post that included a sweet photo of her kissing the 50-year-old actor. The couple was also spotted arriving together at the party on April 25th. Love is in the air and on the timeline. And finally, fashion's biggest night is here. The Met Gala takes place tonight at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City. It's where celebs show up and show out. This year's theme, Superfine, Tailoring Black Style, a tribute to Black influence in fashion. Co-chairs include Colman Domingo, Lewis Hamilton, A$AP Rocky, Pharrell Williams, and honorary chair LeBron James, alongside Vogue's Anna Wintour. That's all for the B-List this week. Check in next Monday to hear about what happens this week in pop culture. For WNUR News, I'm Ansley Simpson.
New beginnings. dorms, retirements, and practice rooms. Rachel Spears has this week's State of the N Union.
WNUR News' political update from campus to Evanston to the world. Today, Evanston City Council, Chicago, and Governor J.B. Pritzker. Northwestern's Associate Student Government, ASG, is looking to fill 6 empty Senate seats. Last month, the group heard new bills proposing NU start an ASL program. It is the only school in the Big Ten without such a program. And one about the expansion of practice room access to all students, not just those in Benin. In Evanston last week, the city council was sworn in for their new terms. This included Mayor Daniel Biss and City Clerk Stephanie Mendoza, who both won re-election in April. From the city's 9 wards, there were 6 incumbent city council members who were re-sworn in, as well as 3 new council members. From the 3rd and 7th wards, respectively, Melissa Wynn and Eleanor Ravel had announced that they would not seek re-election in 2025. They were replaced by Sean Isles and Periel Davis. In the 8th ward, outgoing councilmember Devin Reed was beat by Matt Rogers, who is looking forward to serving his ward and the city at large. This year's April election was the first with a new ward map that sought to even out the populations of each ward. This upcoming year, the city is expected to face issues like the budget deficit, the Ryan Field rebuild, and housing affordability. The next regular city council meeting will be on May 12th. The city of Chicago has joined a coalition to sue Trump and his administration for his abrupt firing of federal workers earlier this year. Other cities, counties, and unions from across the country are part of the coalition, which opposes cuts made by Trump and Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency, also called DOGE. In Illinois, Governor J.B. Pritzker is backing his Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton in the 2026 race for the U.S. Senate. The seat will be open as current Senator Dick Durbin has announced he will not seek re-election. It has also been reported that Representative Jan Schakowsky, who represents the area, including Evanston, is also planning on retiring in 2026. In Washington, President Donald Trump has been making comments about a potential run for the presidency in 2028. Trump is currently in his second term, the maximum amount of terms he can serve per the term limit established in the 22nd Amendment. There is speculation that Governor Pritzker will make a run for the White House in 2028, but no one has formally entered that race. Mere 105 days into the current presidency. That's all for this week's State of the N Union. For WNUR News, I'm Rachel Spears.
Now, taking a look into the headlines. Northwestern softball had an incredible weekend that launched them back into NCAA regional contention. The Wildcats took 2 out of 3 against UCLA, a top 10 team in the nation. NU has the Big Ten tournament up next, where each win will draw them closer to a potential postseason bid. No, that's not a hit from Iga Swiatek. Nope. Novak Djokovic can't hit the ball that high either. It's actually hail. Hail the size of tennis balls are expected in some cases as severe storms sweep the country, from the Rockies to the Great Plains and eventually along the East Coast. Some forecasters think an omega block, a jet stream shaped like the Greek letter omega, may be to blame. Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese won re-election Saturday. Additionally, the Labour Party in Australia has moved from 78 to 85 seats in the 150-seat House of Representatives. Albanese believes that the results were a move toward unity. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at WNUR News. You can listen to these and other WNUR News stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our producer today is Ethan Pan, And our reporters are Mika Ellison, Sahana Ani, Ansley Simpson, Rachel Spears, and myself. From all of us here at WNUR News, thanks for listening. I'm Gabe Shumway. Catch our next newscast on Wednesday, May 7th at 6 p.m. Now, back to scheduled programming.